Had a good Tuesday morning. Welcome back to Birds 365. The gang is all back together. Yeah. There's John McMullen, Scott Grayson from Fox 29. I know from Grayson's grades, and he's going to grade this. Hey, Scott, good morning, man. What's up?
Good morning, Mike. John, how are you both doing today?
Fancy seeing you in this Eagle conversation.
Yeah, I know.
I booked you before I knew Mike would be on the show, so it's just a nice coincidence. And I hope you had a good vacation down in Orlando. I hope you and the family had a good time.
Anytime you go to Disney, you're you know, with a young one, it's exciting and it's also exhausting. So it's good to be back.
Well, for all the viewers out there, Scott and I went to the Super Bowl together this year for about, what's this, like the fifth or sixth year. We were down on Radio Row. We got a chance to catch up with guys like Fletcher Cox and Britton Covey. We saw Devontae Smith down there. A lot of Eagle representation at the Super Bowl. They weren't playing in the game, Scott, but as John and I have been discussing in the opening segment here, RG3 yesterday put out a tweet saying he thinks the Eagles already have the best roster in football. Are we kind of overlooking what this team is? Are we putting too much stock in the way they ended the season and not looking at the bigger picture? Because I don't know how many people heard this. Brandon Graham did ESPN radio last week. So it was on the national stick. And I know a lot of Eagle fans might not hear the national, but Brandon Graham basically said that he thought that they had some coaches in the wrong spots and that Howie admits it and he recognized it and they made some changes. And we did see changes. Vic Fangio, Kellen Moore, a lot of new coaches here. So RG3 looks at that signing yesterday and says, holy mackerel, you got Smith, you got Brown, already best roster in football. Is this the best roster in football? If you were doing Grayson's grades, grade this roster.
Well, I would give the offense pretty close to an A+. I mean, you look at the weapons they have for sure. You got a lot to like there. But as we said, from the moment the season ended, you know, I've talked to John about it on this show. And, you know, Mike, you and I have talked about it. This defense is still incomplete, in my opinion. There's still a lot of pieces to kind of put together there before you can look at this and go, wow, this is a great roster. That defense, to me, is very questionable still. And they have some holes to fill. And I know at this point they're gearing up to fill some of those through the draft. I like the kid they have coming in on a visit to the, today or here this week, Latu from UCLA, the edge rusher. I think that'd be a great way to try to fill the void that Hassan Reddick, you know, is going to leave behind. So, but to me, I feel like it's an overreaction to start calling this, you know, the best roster in the NFL right now. I think certainly it's a contender for it. And again, I think you could argue that this is the best offense in the NFL. But there's things we still don't know. How are they going to do filling Jason Kelce's spot? What are they going to do at right guard? You know, I think we know the answers to some of those questions, but how are those guys going to perform is the big question. How are they going to look under Kellen Moore? I think that's part of it. I think Brandon Graham, as you alluded to, Mike, they realized they tried to go to the cheap a little bit with their coordinators last year. And look, sometimes you strike gold that way. It didn't really work out. So they tried to fix the problem by bringing in more experienced guys. Certainly Fangio and Kellen Moore fit that bill. And I think we're going to see some of the results of talent coupled with good coaching should lead to some explosive plays on that offense. But again, I'm going to reserve some judgment on this roster until I see a little bit more of what they do on defense, because to me, there's still some holes that need to be filled there.
Let me ask you this way then. If obviously the draft is coming up and more things are happening, but Brandon Graham alluded to the coaching. If the coaching is just better, how much better is this team? Is that even fair to bring up? Is it, hey, this team should have been better, but they were poorly coached? Or is that just, you know,
like the coaches always get the blame.
The basketball fans out there, it's always Doc Rivers' fault. It's Rob Thompson's fault every
day. It's always the players when things go well. It's always the coaches when things go poorly.
You know, it's funny because I had originally thought along those lines a little bit, Mike, that like, hey, if the play calling was a little better, if they had gotten like, you know, we were questioning why Hassan Reddick was dropping into coverage as much as he was later in the year. If they had done better things with the players they had, would they have maybe not had the collapse that they did at the end of the season? We'll never know. But the fact that they've gone out and their answer to what happened was a lot of new faces here. They got rid of, they've gotten rid of a lot of, they've gotten younger is part of it. And they've gotten some new blood in here as well and gotten rid of some things. Some players have retired, you know, not necessarily saying any of those guys were issues, but it shows me that they felt they needed to make changes within the locker room as well as the coaching staff. So I don't think you could say that the coaches were necessarily the problem. Were they part of the problem? Yeah, I think it's fair to say that might have been part of the problem, but clearly some of the players were part of the problem as well.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Scott, with the original, the RG3 quote. I think that's a quarterback talking. That's what I thought. I mean, he looks around, he sees great skill position talent and the great offensive line. He's forgetting about the defensive side of the football. I mean, you got Eagles fans coming up to the draft next week, and there's, well, got to take a corner. You got to take a corner. You can't go into the draft with that mindset. You got to take whomever falls to you as the best player who you've evaluated that to be, or, unless you're going to get in trouble. Linebacker. You know, they're counting on N'Kobe Dean and Devin White right now at linebacker. I mean, something's got to be added. Mm-hmm. Even though I like Oren Burks as a third linebacker, I thought that was a sneaky good signing. Counting on Avante Maddox again in the slot. Is C.J. Gardner-Johnson going to stay on the field? Is he going to be the same type of playmaker as he was when he left? There's some good signs, but they got to add some talent on defense to be in that top roster in the NFL category.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't frankly expect Bradbury to be as bad as he was last year.
I'm with you. I'm like, I want to see James Bradbury with Vic Fangio. Actually want to see it because I think Vic will use him correctly.
I was disgusted at the end of the season with how it ended and how it seemed he was disinterested in really playing towards the end of the year. But that was just as I've gotten further away from that, I have gotten to a place like you, John, where, yeah, in Vic Fangio's defense and also going along the lines of like he's not that bad. That was just whatever it was. And there were so many changes in the back end. I remember talking to you about it last time I was on with you here on Birds 365. There were so many changes back there that the communication was obviously a problem. And these guys at times, I don't think really truly knew where the other guys were going to be. And that's so important in this game where you have a split second to make a decision. And if you fail to make that decision at the right time, you're now out of position and a guy is open. I think some of that contributed to it, but there are clearly, you know, yes, I like CJ Gardner-Johnson coming back. I like bringing Avante Maddox back the way they did. When healthy, the big clarifier, he is as good a slot DB you're going to have.
Can't trust a guy from Pitt, Grayson. You can't trust a guy from Pitt.
I bought into it, to Maddox. He's an
Let's hope Kenny Pickett doesn't have to play as the backup quarterback. Oh, we got the first West Virginia side.
There you go.
You can't trust a guy from Pitt. No. Well, I agree with you, Scott, though. When Maddox is healthy, he's been very good. That's the problem. But it goes back to what John was saying, which is everybody seeming – I feel like the two spots right now that everybody is kind of coming to terms with, it's either an offensive lineman or a corner to try to improve. So are those the two – we know they're not taking a linebacker, but are those the two weakest spots? You both just said you think Bradbury bounces back. So if they take a corner in the first round, is that guy holding a clipboard?
I'm not so convinced they will take a corner in the first round. Number one, and I say this every year, I don't think Howie ever likes picking where he's assigned to start the draft.
No, he does not.
Where will they move? Will they move down? Will they move up? I think
you guys don't think they would consider Bradbury in the slot. I know they played him there.
That's what went wrong last year.
I'm just making sure that that's not, because I agree with you guys. I'm just making sure that's not a possibility. Hey, you know what? We have Bradbury here. That's just start him in training camp in the slot and put him there the whole year, but that's not a possibility.
I don't think they go corner unless some guy falls that they have an eye on and they feel he's within range and they'll move up to grab him. The more I've thought about it, I think they are going to go with Bradbury and Slay. And I think they like some of the things they saw from their younger players last season as they got thrown.
I like Ringo.
Yeah, like yeah, I mean, Keeley Singh, if you like those guys, you're looking at this, if you're Howie, saying, I kind of have what I need out there for right now. I feel like this edge rusher stuff might – I'm growing more and more to thinking they go edge rusher in the first round. If a guy like Latu is there, I think there's a lot to like with guys like that. And I know that they feel they have to replace to a certain extent some of the production that Hassan Reddick had, and they're going to do it, obviously, cheaper than they would have if they kept him. So I think that's part of it. Offensive linemen, if this team has done a good job of grabbing guys and keeping depth and rebuilding from within. But this defense, to me, as I said before, is the bigger question mark. If you're looking at this team and saying we're going to make a run this year again to get back there, then to me, I think you've got to focus on defensive spots. I do think they will take a linebacker at some point. It will not be first round, obviously. I would be shocked,
no,
as would everybody. But I do think they could take a linebacker, you know, in the second or potentially third round or something like that if they get in there. But to me, I'm thinking defense in a lot of the picks that they make this year on the draft.
I'm kind of torn, you know, and that's the NFL. That's what makes the NFL, I think, in a lot of ways so popular. You know, it's paralysis by overanalysis. We always have so much time to talk about it. In season, the game, it's not like baseball where you're playing every day. Basketball, you're playing a couple of times a week. You know, you got all this time to talk about the game, Scott. In the offseason, you know, it's lead up to the draft. You get all the misinformation, the disinformation. You mentioned Latu's visiting, Kool-Aid McKinstry's visiting. You start to go, oh, what are the Eagles thinking about? I think both of those players, it's about medicals. They got to get right. The medical checks. And Latu would be great. But, you know, guess what? The medical people might say, no, we can't risk it. And all of a sudden he's red flagged and he's off the board.
But to that end, though, John, sorry to interrupt you, but to that end, it is important to point out that the medical team has done a good job so far in the last few years.
Yeah.
Of saying, no, these guys are dropping in the draft, but going, no. You know, Landon Dickerson's worth the pick.
Yeah.
He's healthy enough. Or we trust that he's going to heal okay. And I think that's something to keep in mind, too.
Yeah. The sort of debate between corner and edge rusher. With corner, I look at Vic Fangio, I look at this system, and I say to myself, do you really want a young corner playing in this system? Because we just talked about the communication and all that. There's going to be some hiccups, but especially at 22. This isn't Sauce Gardner coming in at 22 or Patrick Surtain coming in at 22. This would be a more, you know, blousy prospect. Making up a word, got to communicate, do all that stuff. And then the edge, we talk about how he wants to get Nolan Smith on the field. If you bring in Latu or somebody like that, how do you get Nolan Smith on the field? So do they really believe in Nolan Smith, or are we just closing the book on him? Overanalysis. How do you stop yourself, Scott?
Well, you can't. You have to wait for draft day too. But the other interesting thing is, while you were talking, John, I was reminded of how Howie has used the draft. And keep in mind, he has gotten players through the draft, and I'm not talking about picking them. A.J. Brown came as a draft day trade.
Yeah. Well, I was going to bring up the trade. 18th,
and by the way. So you have to keep in mind also that if there's a specific corner that he think veteran that might fit
Patrick a little Surtain? Better.
Maybe. Yes. Yes.
Is I don't know why Denver would trade him to Philadelphia, but I agree with the sentiment.
Yeah, Howie has shown he will do whatever he can to try to get creative and outthink everybody in the room. We've talked about that. Sometimes it has been to a detriment, but you're right. As far as the debate goes with the corner, with the edge rusher, and how they pick will probably tell us a little bit about how they feel about Nolan Smith. If they don't take an edge rusher in the first round, then that tells you that they must feel better about his progress. And Vic Fangio must be saying, I really like this kid. I want to see him develop more. And if they go corner, then that tells you maybe they aren't sold on, or maybe they are going to still do something with Bradbury, or maybe they're going to just look to have a little more depth there. But, you know, as we said to it, I think they like their cornerback depth. I don't anticipate them doing much more at corner.
About this on my show, which was they have Ringo and Ricks and Gardner and, I mean, a host of other guys in there that got playing time last year. If you don't take a corner in round one or two where you have three picks, do you keep throwing a dart in round four, five, where you have multiple picks to bring more corners in? Or do you let the group that you already have here kind of battle it out for whatever they're battling out for? The first guy, if Bradberry can't play or goes down or Slay gets hurt, or, you know, do they have enough guys that they like in that group that if you don't see a corner go in day one or day two, that, all right, we've got enough depth at that spot? I would think they have a bunch of guys in here that they want to see more of.
I would agree with that thought. But again, I see this is where I think the draft will tell you more about where they believe they are than what they say after the picks are made. If they don't take a corner in the first or second rounds, like you said, Mike, I think they're clearly saying we've got what we need, we think. And if we don't, when guys are cut, you know, before the season starts, we can always pick somebody up later at that point. And if they do take one, that tells you, you know what, we want to press these guys a little bit, really see what they can show us and give somebody else an opportunity to maybe earn a spot. I just think there's some valuable needs at some other positions that they really need to find. You know, when we talk about, you talk about when healthy, right? Well, N'Kobe Dean wasn't healthy. Avante Maddox wasn't healthy. These injuries have played a role in what happened last year with guys getting rotated in and thrown in spots. Now, that experience, as you said, Mike, could prove to be a big key as you build your depth and say, hey, these guys have shown us some things in a couple games, been in those, you know, the live action, face the live bullets, and we like where their progress is going. It's really helpful in their development. So I just think the first day and the first two rounds really are going to tell us where Howie, where the coaching staff believes they are in terms of players. What they take, and more importantly, what they don't take.
John and I talked about this at the start of the show. Other than right guard, right? Right guard, where there's no definitive depth chart number one guy, is there a glaring spot? Now, you might say, hey, I don't like this guy, but he's the starter. John mentioned third wide receiver. But is there any other spot where a number one first round pick would come in and get a chance to play right away?
On offense?
Anywhere.
Oh. I mean, if you're picking at 22.
In definitively, my opinion, I draft really this guy. I draft this guy 22.
To start.
And he definitively has a shot to play a lot, start.
I'll tell you what. If you take a corner at 22, and this is why I don't want to take a corner at 22, I think he's the starter. They cut Bradberry post-June 1st. Huh. And then that guy's got to sink or swim as a rookie in this complicated defensive scheme. That's why I don't want a corner.
That's a scenario I didn't think of. I mean, I guess an outside shot of, do you just eat the money?
Well, yeah, from Bradbury's perspective, yeah, I think they cut him if they draft a corner. Because as you mentioned, Mike and Scott, they have a lot of good young corners they like. And they might not be ready right now, starting with Kaylee Ringo. Eli Ricks as well, especially on the outside. Mekhi Gardner played some safety, has some versatility. You have all these young bodies. I don't think they need developmental corners. I think they need a starter. And if they draft one, Bradbury is not going to be a backup. He doesn't have versatility. He's not going to help you on special teams. So they're going to move on. And I almost don't want that to happen for two reasons. The one we talked about, Scott, I like his projection in this particular defense. And then on the back end, I don't like a young corner. Because, again, whoever they get at 22, whether you're like Kool-Aid McKinstry, and I'm concerned about the Jones fracture in his foot, Cooper DeJean, whatever you want to call him. Do you guys know? I call him DeJean. Others call him DeJean.
Yeah.
He's more of a safety slash corner. I want a true outside corner. I don't like, unless Terrion Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell ball, I'm not thrilled with that. So those are my kind of two thoughts. And you brought up the trade aspect. I think people forget the AJ Brown trade. He was the final piece of the puzzle. If you can swing Patrick Surtain, and the Eagles were very interested in drafting him during the Devontae Smith year.
Mm-hmm. While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Their group was Jalen Waddle was number one. He went sixth. J.C. Horn was next. He went eighth. Surprised a lot of people. Patrick Surtain. And then Devontae was the fourth of four. And they traded up to get Devontae when everybody else was off the board. They've loved Surtain for years. But if Denver's going up and going to trade a player like that, they need a quarterback. So I don't see the fit. But you never say never with Howie Roseman. That's a lot. I know I put a lot on your plate, Scott. But those are my cornerback thoughts.
Yeah, to answer Mike's question first, I don't really at this point see somebody they take that they plug and play as a starter or – yeah, I don't want to say a key contributor because you can get log a lot of snaps without being a starter. But, I don't really see that. I could see if you're talking about somebody who's not here right now getting thrown into this team and having a role, it would be more like John said, where you go out and you get a guy like a Patrick Surtain and you say, obviously, he's starting. You know, you're getting him to start and he's thrown in there. That acquired through the draft is now a guy who's getting those snaps. I think this team, you know, when you think about it, they're going to have new core leaders and new leaders in that locker room that need to step up. The Kelsey's gone. The Fletcher Cox is gone. Who are those guys going to be? I think that's still to be determined. Lane Johnson is a leader by example. He's not a vocal leader, in my opinion. Jalen Hurts is not going to lead by vocal, which is I think some guys really want him to do. He's not going to sit there and yell and be vocal. He's going to lead by example. So who's going to be the vocal leader? Who's going to be the guy is it Saquon Barkley? Is he going to come in and be that guy?
I've heard really good reports on Saquon as a leader. Everybody seems to like him. I you know, everybody knows and they get upset. I don't necessarily know if the fit is there on the football field. I'm concerned about 1,500 touches. I think he's a little bit overrated because where he was drafted, where he came into the league, he was a tremendous talent, but that was pre-ACL. Hasn't been the same since. All that I have questions on. Everybody speaks glowingly about him. In fact, they bend over backwards to make excuses for him because everybody loves the guy.
Well, that's a good quality to have in that locker room. I mean, you know, but who's going to take over those roles to me is a big question mark.
So on that Saquon front, though, like for years, the team didn't seem to trust or value their running backs, and yet they had guys who produced. Do they shift their philosophy because they do trust and value this particular running back? Even if you're saying
that's why
you're concerned that he might not be the guy they think he is. It's almost like, because you've said for years, John, they wanted McCaffrey. They like these certain guys, Surtain, we know. Is Barkley their white whale of McCaffrey? They couldn't get him, but this is a guy that we have on the same, you know, plane as him, and we're going to use him in the way that we wanted to use our guy. We had Miles Sanders. We didn't really view him the way that we view this guy. We had Swift. We didn't view him the way that we view this guy, and how that could change the dynamics of the way they think about their offense.
I'm eager to see how they use him because, you know, like we always talked about the last couple of years, you have one football to get to AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley now, Dallas Goedert. You know, Jalen Hurts is obviously going to keep it some himself. How are you going to distribute that and keep everybody happy? And yes, when they win, everybody seems to be happy. But as we saw last year, when they're not winning, when the ball's not moving, I mean, look, this offense, and this is why I think that a part of what their attitude is on defense, we're going to score. We don't need to shut opponents out. We don't even really need to keep them to less than 10 points. But if we can keep them to less than 20, 24, we should win the game. Well, there's pressure then on those guys on offense to produce. And when they're not producing, then you see the A.J. Browns and the conversations on the sideline when we start going, uh-oh, he's not happy. And what's so how are they all going to – and sometimes unfairly to him, we draw those conclusions, yeah. Right? But the question is, how will Saquon Barkley fit into that? What role will he play? What role will he embrace? They brought him in here to be a better pass protector than
and he is. Yeah.
So will he?
You can't pay a man $30 million to be a pass protector.
Ah, well, that's true too.
No, that's true as well. But
unless you're a left tackle.
No. But that keeps him on the field, and it helps him, helps the team, helps the offense. You know, and it's the first year. You're going to have a little bit of that honeymoon period with him. And the question then again I throw out there is, if this team is scoring, everybody will be fine. If they aren't, how will players like Barkley and Smith,
by the way, add Jeffrey Lurie in the mix, Scott, because for all these people that think, oh, they're going to be run first, Jeffrey Lurie's not going to accept that. He said consistently, you need to have a high octane passing offense to be successful in the modern NFL. Plus, guess what? The best pure football player on this team pre-Saquon Barkley was A.J. Brown. Post-Saquon Barkley is A.J. Brown. He is. He's the best pure football player the Eagles have. I throw that into the mix. You're right about guys want the football. And A.J.'s honest about that. All good players want the football. Devontae wants the football. Dallas wants the football. Saquon wants the football. It's a good problem to have, but as I often say, when you throw that term out there, good problem, the word problem is in there.
Yes.
It is a problem, and that's up to Kellen Moore to keep everybody happy, and now people are talking they want a third receiver. How many footballs are we throwing out there?
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. It's a bigger issue, I think, than people realize.
Now, that all being said, you're right about Jeffrey, and that is kind of one of the key ingredients to the equation that is sometimes forgotten. He likes to see the ball thrown around the yard. He likes to see it moving downfield. Now, that being said, I think what you'll get with Saquon Barkley is a guy who can be patient in the holes like DeAndre Swift was last year. He can work behind this offensive line and find some room. And then as well, he's obviously a weapon out of the backfield, so you can still get him the ball through the air. And I'd like to see some of the screen game come back with the running back in this offense.
I think Scott, that's got more to do about the quarterback, and it's not a bad thing. People think I'm criticizing. Jalen doesn't want to, because of the talent he is. He's a guy who can do off-schedule stuff. He's a guy who can extend plays. He doesn't want to play that dink and dunk game, and that's probably one of the issues the Eagles had last year. As teams went to more umbrella coverage because of how good the Eagles were in 2022, he tried to force the ball a little bit too much. He and AJ out in Seattle famously went off script and started freelancing a little bit. They lost the game over it. They probably would have won if they were patient. But I just can't see Jalen Hurts throwing a bunch of screens, dumping the football off to the back. I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm not necessarily saying I think it's going to happen. It's just something I think I'd like to see as part of the offense, because I agree with you. They got so predictable on trying to push it down the field. It made it so easy, But the one guy we haven't really talked about much until just now, as you mentioned it, John, is Jalen Hurts. I mean, there's a football to get to all these guys, but he's got to get it to them. And he's got to have confidence in that offensive line, which I think everybody would agree. He took his eyes off the field, downfield, too early at times. I don't think he trusted what was in front of him sometimes. And I think there's a lot of that's got to be put on Jalen to get back to where he was 2 years ago, have that confidence to be able to look downfield, extend the plays as you talked about, and still look downfield and make some of those completions and throws on the run. Those are the things he did well 2 years ago as well as run the ball. And I'll be curious to see what Kellen Moore does in that regard with Jalen's legs, how he gets him in space and allows him to make some of those plays.
Well, I think we need a whole offseason with no mention of Jalen Hurts. Just let him kind of live under the radar. By the way,
he has. We barely mentioned him on this show. It's amazing. Yeah.
Just let him kind of like exist under the radar and let him come back and, you know, be like, hey, you guys remember me? You know, because last year everything was about him and possibly it, you know, I don't want to say he had a bad year, but guess what? When you had the year you did before, now that's your standard. The standard is the standard. That's his line. And if he can't reach the standard he set, then that's a problem. You paid him, and this is why it was a weird situation for him. He had 1 year where he was mediocre. He had 1 year where he was essentially, you know, the MVP of the league. He got paid, not in the middle. He got paid on his one great year, not on his one mediocre year. So now you set that standard. You need to get there. That's what makes a great player, where you're in that same standard year after year. You can't just get there 1 year. And this team will only exist as a Super Bowl champion if he can get approach that standard. And if he can't, you're looking at a team that I think is just probably average.
There's no doubt. I think you made a lot of good points in there. But it is important to point out, as you said, we're not talking about him. He had that year 2 years ago as the MVP until he got hurt. And then took the team to the Super Bowl. He was in the spotlight. He was talked about all the time. He was doing how many different extra things on top of everything else he was doing outside of football, and that's not part of it this year. You know, you have to wonder, is he back to that dedicated workout guy who's focused on making this team better?
I think he's always been that guy. At S. Grayson Box 29, make sure you follow Scott.
And by the way, real quick, guys, John, I have never had – like that's why I didn't have a problem with the contract, because I don't feel like they gave him the contract and he was going to stop working at being I think he had better and better.
You know, maybe he didn't have enough time. He was pulled in a million different directions. I think that was coming off the 2022 season. Got a lot of endorsements. That takes time away. You know, and maybe learn from that, understands, you know, all right, maybe I can't do this, I can't do that, and get back to where it was. It goes back
to the movie Major League, man, where Ricky Vaughn just wasn't the same after all the endorsements.
Yeah. All the endorsements hurt, and you look in the chat and you see, we were talking about people bend over backwards for Saquon Barkley, man, top three running back. There's no evidence of that. None. Zero. Other than the Eagles saying that. I covered Adrian Peterson in his prime, Scott. Bad quarterback, as in Christian Ponder. Average offensive line. He won the stinking MVP. Great players find a way. Great players. Truly great players find. I know he had a shitty supporting cast. I've never, and this points to how well-liked he is. People bend over backward. And bottom line is, I hope the Eagles are right, because they've evaluated him as being similar to what Mike said. Christian McCaffrey, like, I've seen no evidence of that. None.
He's the only thing I'm excited to see. Well, there's several things.
Let me just ask you this, John. No evidence of that because the Giants offense stinks out loud.
Well, that's the point. You know, when Christian, people forget he had some injury issues in Carolina. At his height in Carolina, he had 1,400 yards and 1,000 yards receiving. And he was the best back in football on a Carolina team that wasn't as bad as they were last year, but average team. I brought up AP because I watched him get 2,000 yards with one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen. Daniel Jones runs laps around Christian Ponder, and he won the NFL MVP. Generational players find a way, no matter what. I also got to cover Randy Moss because I covered Minnesota. A lot of bad quarterbacks. Randy found a way because he was that good, and at receiver, you need a vehicle to get you the football. you're really at the mercy. And he was so great, he still found a way. That is my point with Barkley. You can make all the excuses, but if he was good as you think he is, and I'm not talking about you, Scott, I'm talking about some of the Eagles fans, he would have found a stinking way. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I hear you, and I can follow your logic. I think I am, considering what they had available to them or what they could have done, was there an other option that you would have rather seen at running back?
Yeah, I talked about a lot. Aaron Jones coming off last year. If you looked at the end of the season for the Packers, he lifted that team into the playoffs. I think he's a better receiver coming out, and that's what the Eagles want. He's probably not a better blocker, so Saquon. And then he's got some injury concerns. He's older, I get it. But Barkley's got more touches, and he would have been cheaper. So I'm just thinking of it from a traditional Eagles perspective. Why did they go out of their comfort zone for Saquon Barkley when you could have gotten similar production and maybe arguably more production from what I think has been a more proven back? And by the way, he's single, and I'm talking about Aaron Jones. He single-handedly beat the Cowboys in the playoffs last year. He was so good in that game. Yeah.
Well, I would imagine, John and Scott, that the Eagles do look at their offensive line and say, hey, what can Barkley be with some competence?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, Miles Sanders had 1,269 yards rushing, 4.9 yards per carry. DeAndre Swift had a career year, 4.6 yards per carry. He's going to be better than he was in New York. I'm not concerned about that because the Eagles have a better supporting cast. But if you're – and Howie used the term special. He called him a special player. And as Mike pointed out, they think he's the next best thing to Christian McCaffrey. I have seen no evidence of that. None.
Let me go back to what you said, though, about, you know, bringing Saquon in, John. And we talked about how they, you know, earlier there was kind of some roster moves made here to move on from different things. And to me, it looks like they're just trying to get a little younger. Do you see any kind of this being part of it? Is there a philosophy shift that took place as they evaluated what happened in that collapse and coming out of it said, the Saquon Barkley being part of it, we have to adjust our philosophy to do X, Y, and Z?
I don't. I think they think this player's special.
Okay.
And he's different. And that's if their evaluation is right, you know, I'll be the first one to raise my hand and said, all right, they were right.
I will, you know, look at the comparison between Miles Sanders. He left and was lousy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, so I agree with that.
Maybe the Eagles feel like if you come here, you'll be better than you were there. And if you're better than you were there, you were pretty good there. You can even be better here.
Well, yeah. And by the way, I think he's going to be better than Miles Sanders and DeAndre Swift because he's a better player. But how much better?
Yeah,
that's
the thing. I said before, for what they paid him and what the value they got out of the other guys for what they were paying them, he needs to be like a 1,500 yard, 500 receiver. Like
that's what I'm talking about. The expectations, because again, I keep going back to Miles because it was so spectacular from a running perspective. Miles did nothing in the receiving game. So that's a big part of it as well. Saquon and receiving game. And I know we're keeping you long. I apologize, Scott. But,
oh, no.
1,269 yards, 4.9 yards per carry. Saquon Barkley's had those numbers once in his career as a rookie when he was spectacular as a rookie. Spectacular coming out of his rookie year. That was 2018, though. That was pre-ACL. He hadn't had 1,500 touches, many of them on the tough turf at MetLife Stadium. He hasn't been that same guy. If he plays like that, yeah, I'm on board. This league moves fast, guys. 2018 might as well be Dick Butkus times. You know, Walt. The league moves so quickly. The assumption that he's going to turn back to that. because the offensive line is better? I don't know. I'm not buying it. Hopefully I'm wrong. I'm wrong.
Well, guess what? It will all start to play out here soon. We'll see the mini camps, phase one, two, three, four, five.
We're in phase one.
We're in phase one, which is them looking at Zoom calls. Scott Grayson, everybody. S. Grayson Fox 29, kind enough to be our first guest this morning. My bad. I'm really struggling with some allergies here. So if I'm like kind of dozing off here and there, I am really struggling with the allergies this morning. But it was good to hear and see from you, Scott. You uplifted the conversation. And we'll talk to you soon, bud.
Hey, as always, I appreciate talking to both of you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, all right, Scott.
Scott Grayson is up first and coming up in just about 17 minutes from now. Stick around. We'll continue the conversation. Brandon Lee Galton from Bleeding Green Nation is going to join us here on today's edition of Birds 365. Stick around.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.